So Sunday night will be a big one here in the Metroplex because our guest on the phone will be joined by me on stage at the House of Blues as we have a screening and retrospective Q&A. It is the 25th anniversary of Varsity Blues, and the man who starred in that movie joins us now. He is James Vanderbeek. What's up, James?
How you doing, guys?
All right.
We're doing good, brother. So, last I heard, you were in Egypt. Is that correct?
I just got back from Egypt, yeah.
For fun, or was that, were you working over there?
No, it was a family trip. Yeah, we were crazy. We took all six kids over to Egypt. And it was, it worked out great, man.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, you had to wrangle eight passports.
Dude, nothing's more depressing when you go to purchase a flight and you have to multiply it by eight.
Yeah, I should think. What's the ranges, if you don't mind us asking? Six kids is an aggressive play, James.
It's definitely a big one. It's 2 to 13.
Oof. Wow. All right. So what are we doing in Egypt? Just seeing the sights, seeing the pyramids? What are we doing?
Yeah, going to the temples. We started down south. We worked our way up the Nile. Went to the Temple of Karnak. We went to Komombo, and then we ended with the Great Pyramids.
Wow.
Are you like an incredible history buff? What's the passion stem from?
I'd always been kind of fascinated by Egypt. I did a report on it when I was in seventh grade. I've always been fascinated by how the people there lived and how they built the pyramids. And, you know, what I was most surprised by was that, they're temples. I think I went there thinking they'd be historical sites, but they're temples. They're how people tried to understand the divine back in the day. And so it's really beautiful energy there. That kind of took me by surprise. I don't think I anticipated that so much.
Man, that sounds like a pretty cool trip.
And you are... Yeah. Do you live in Texas now?
I do.
Austin area?
Yeah, I went out of Austin. Yeah, I've been here about 3.5 years.
Wow. And that's... Are you living not far from where Varsity Blues filmed back in the day?
I drive by a lot of the locations sometimes when I'm taking my kids to school or various activities. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Have your older kids seen the movie yet, or are they a little too young?
They're a little too young. I tried to show them some of the football action at one point when they were a little bit younger, and I forgot how much cussing there was in the movie.
Yeah, maybe don't show them the Ali Larter whipped cream scene until later.
The whipped cream is definitely going to take some explaining.
So
I would imagine
that's not mommy.
I would imagine also they would be interested in the jeans you were wearing in that movie. In terms of we wore baggy jeans back in the late 90s, didn't we? As a human race,
I think. Late 90s is not the best window for fashion.
I don't think so.
Oh, everything was so big. So
everything was the only like solace is that I was not the only one dressing in way too baggy clothes back then.
No.
Every movie from that time period, everyone's just swimming in their clothes.
So were you aware, because you know there are all these teen comedy dramas that you know help define certain generations. We have a lot of people that we work with up here that this movie meant a lot to because you know they were of a certain age when they saw it. Did you have any idea? Can you tell when you're in the moment of a project like that? That it's going to resonate the way it did? Or do you have to just kind of wait till it comes out and you're like, oh, wait, wow, this is really a lot bigger than I anticipated?
I mean, at that point, I was 21 years old. I had just done one season of Dawson's Creek. And this movie was like the biggest thing in the world to me. So to me, it was the most epic thing I could have possibly been a part of just because it was my first lead of a movie. And I think it was the same for everybody who was there. Everyone was young. Everyone was hungry. This was a huge opportunity for all of us. John Voight obviously had won 2 Oscars. But the fact that we got to work with him was just incredible. So, usually in the career, you never know what it's going to be. But back then, just because of how hungry we were and how much it meant to us and how committed we were, it just felt like the biggest thing in the world. So when it did resonate with an audience, that was a real gift.
When you were going into the role, had you played a lot of football, and did you have to like get a quarterback's coach to get an authentic motion, or did you always have a good arm? How did you approach like the technical aspect of having to, in a football crazed state like Texas, portray a real high school starting quarterback?
Yeah, I played when I was a kid. I played baseball. I played football. My dad was a professional baseball player before I was born, so I had a little bit of athletic ability coming into it. But Peter Gardere actually was my double, and he was also served as my quarterback coach.
Really?
So a lot of, yeah.
All right, well, we got to back up here, because for those who don't know,
wow,
Peter Gardere was the Texas quarterback from in the early 90s. He won every game.
Never lost.
I think he's the only quarterback that won four straight games in the Oklahoma Texas rivalry. And yeah. Were you aware of that at all? Were you aware of him before he showed up on set?
Not before he showed up on set. Everybody was talking about him. And then I heard about 4-0 against Oklahoma. And then we went out with him one night in Austin, and we watched just the waters part everywhere. The burger joint at 4 in the morning would open up for him. Everywhere we went, if we were guests of Peter, we were made men. So, I got a sense of just how much he meant to the community through that.
So what does a passing coach do on the set of a movie, especially if a guy like you can already pass pretty well?
You start with footwork. You start with, because if the feet are right, then everything else kind of...
Yeah.
If the feet, well, let me put it this way. If the feet aren't right, then nothing's going to work. So we started there, and it was just a lot of passing, a lot of throwing in between takes, running plays. We ran pretty much everything that the offense ran. And the one great thing that the producers did at Varsity Blues is they diagrammed every single play, X's and O's, down to stunting guards, blitzes, and they hired a lot of really good football players who could execute and were good guys, and they spent a lot of time doing it. You know, a lot of productions, they don't have the budget, but our director and our producer were both football obsessed, and so they made sure that we spent most of our shooting schedule shooting football in that movie.
Yeah, because nothing knocks the legs out of a football movie if the football scenes are not believable.
It's the worst, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Just go, oh, man. Yeah, so it was really important to all of us to make it believable. We, for the football stuff, we hired NFL film crews to supplement our own, you know, regular crew. And, they really made it a priority.
This is James Van Der Beek, noted actor, who will be in town here in a couple of days. It's kind of cool. You just get to drive up 35. It's not like you got to take a plane to Egypt or anything.
Yeah.
this is really a little bit quicker, and you're going to be here screening of Varsity Blues June 30th on Sunday night at the House of Blues, and then you and I will have a little sit down afterwards and talk to the folks.
Yeah, you can ask Corby anything you want.
Anything you want to know about me. Let's just turn the attention to me. I'm sure the people really want to hear about that. So what do you get recognized more from? Like, I mean, Dawson's Creek is also, you know, but same era, obviously.
Right.
Is that, and it ran for 6-7 seasons, or do people look at you and they're like, I know that guy, what do they say they know you from?
You know, it's really interesting. It depends on the person, because all the movies that I've done appeal to people who didn't necessarily sit at the same lunch table.
Yeah.
So, like, the kids who watched Dawson's Creek weren't necessarily jocks, whereas, like, all the football players, it's definitely Varsity Blues. I've done some weird dark movies like The Rules of Attraction. So if someone comes up with a bunch of nose rings and an emo haircut, I'm like, okay,
here we go.
I think that'll be Rules of Attraction. And then some random stuff, man. I get a lot of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh yeah,
one afternoon of my life, and that one for how long it took me to shoot it. I get a pretty disproportionate amount of recognition from that one.
Were you yourself in that movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That had to be a blast.
Oh, it was so much fun. I showed up with like improv for a day with Jason Biggs and Kevin Smith. It was just fun. But I forgot about it, and now it's funny. You never know what people are gonna, you know, recognize you from, and it's fun to try to guess from their outward appearance which one it is.
So the three of us on this show. One of us is one of us is a massive Packer fan, and you are as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did that start?
I grew up in Connecticut, and so, you know, the New England Patriots were a Boston team, so I didn't want to root for them. I didn't want to root for the Giants. There was no reason to root for the Jets back when I was a kid. And so I just kind of, I felt like a guy without an NFL team. And then I saw this Mississippi hick throwing with every ounce of his body in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I was like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
And then I looked into the team, and you realize the team is owned by the town. And it just felt like, oh, yeah, this is my team. And so it just, it became my team, and we've been blessed with just absolutely stellar quarterback play the entire time I've been a fan.
Did you name one of your kids after Brett Favre? Because Bob did.
I did, yes, sir.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you name him Brett or Favre?
I named him Brett, and and that could,
Favre Stern would be awesome, though.
That could also apply to Brett Michaels from Poison or Brett the Hitman Hart, but it is actually Favre. Or yeah. Brett Hall. I mean, there's a lot of options, but it is Favre.
Well, Brett Favre is the reason I wore number 4 in Varsity Blues.
Oh, look at that!
That's beautiful.
Look at that. You got to pick your own number. That's kind of badass.
That was actually the only stipulation that I was like, when I signed with it, I was like, listen, I'll yes to the deal, but it's got to be number 4. And they were like, that's all you want? Okay.
They're like, kid. What a weird request. Okay, exactly. We'll do it.
Like, okay.
Did you guys film in the summer at all? Were you aware of what Texas summers were like, if that was the case, or when did you film?
Oh, I found out. Yeah, we shot towards the end of June. Oof. And I remember doing walkthroughs on the field in up at Georgetown. And, man, doing the walkthroughs before the sunset and just feeling how hot it was, I was like, thank God we're not shooting during the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hot place to live. You've probably picked up on that by now.
You know, it seems to be a recurring thing every year. It's really, really hot.
It's not Egypt, so I guess it's all relative.
Egypt was hotter, I'll say that.
is the wife from Texas?
No, wife's from Washington State.
Oh, wow. So what was why did you guys end up relocating here?
We wanted to get out of L.A. We were looking at Nashville. We were looking at outside of Atlanta. And for our anniversary, we came to Austin because Austin's an amazing city. And we thought, well, let's try and see if we can find a place to live. And we found this amazing spot.
Are you out in the hill country?
Yeah, out in the hill country. We just said yes right there on the spot and flew to L.A. Like, kids, we're getting out. Let's
back up. Back up.
Yeah, we're escaping. So it's been one of the best things we've ever done.
That's awesome, man. Glad you're here. Glad you're a part of the scene here. And look forward to chatting with you this Sunday at the House of Blues. It's a screening of Varsity Blues. A little Q&A afterwards.
And we're big fans of Dawson's Creek.
We are.
You'll have to ask Corby off the air on Sunday night about our Dawson's Creek promos.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll enjoy it. All right, man. Take care. We'll see you here in a couple of days. Travel safe up here. And thanks for being so prompt and calling on time. That's awesome.
Of course, bud. Looking forward to it.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye, Dawson.
There he goes. Dawson himself. The great James Vanderbeek. And I will say this about James, too. He called yesterday. I thought the interview was yesterday. Called on time at 5:35, exactly on the nose yesterday.
No handler.
EA told himself. Him it's the wrong day. He said, okay, no worries. I'll do it tomorrow. And then called again yesterday.
At
and
exactly
I think that
5:35.
With the amount of people that we deal with and the amount of BS that we put up with as far as trying to get athletes to call and schedule and things like that, the dude was right on time.
So, incredible.
Yeah, very cool. All right, thank you, James. And thank you, Jonathan Swinney, for organizing that from Live Nation. Appreciate you, brother.